Acts chapter 13, verse 32. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son. Today, I have become your father. Let's pray together. Father, as we look at this beautiful passage, we ask and pray that you would teach us, convict us, guide us, help us. May you be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. I shared a joke recently about a young rookie pastor who accepted his first call to a tiny country church, and he was nervous because the truth is he had never preached before. So on his Sunday, or his first Sunday, not knowing how to write a sermon, his message was so broad that it encompassed God, Jesus, and the entire Bible. So the next Sunday morning, he didn't have anything to talk about because he preached everything he knew the very first Sunday. So my message this morning is entitled, God, Jesus, and the Bible. There we go. God, Jesus, and the Bible. Now, I'm going to mention that several times this morning. When I say God, I mean God the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, of course, the Trinity. This week, I asked AI to generate a background for my title page. I don't do this ever, but I thought it'd be fun. I couldn't find any good pictures of God, Jesus, and the Bible visually. So I asked it to generate an image of God the Father, Jesus, and the Bible, and it gave me this. There it is right there. Apparently, now they put the Holy Spirit in there. We understand the Holy Spirit through the symbol of the dove, but apparently AI thinks God the Father looks like Santa Claus. So to be fair to AI, it is a difficult request because God the Father does not have form, and so it doesn't quite know what to do with a formless, all-powerful God. And so that's what it gave me. I tried in another AI model. I thought, well, that was good. I'll see if another AI gets it. So I went to a different AI. I think this was chat, whatever the chat, GRX or GPT. And I put in the exact terms, God, the Father, Jesus, and the Bible. I don't have that to show you, but I kid you not. Those are the only terms I put in, God, the Father, Jesus, and the Bible. And it prompted me with a warning. I should have done a screen grab of it, but the warning prompt in red said, some of the terms you use may be inappropriate. And so I thought, what? So anyway, I'm not going to say AI is liberal, but there you go. Now, first, I've got something to show you that utilized AI a little bit further on that's actually very beautiful. But before I do that, I want to do something this morning that I rarely do. I'm going to read an entire sermon to you that someone else wrote. Now, it's a good sermon. It's honestly better than any sermon I've ever written. It's a powerful message, and it was preached by a famous preacher by the name of the Apostle Paul. Now, we preachers tend to clip little sentences out of this sermon here and there, but we rarely share the entire message from start to finish. And that's not really fair to God's Word. You will see something in this message that you cannot see if you just read a verse or two from it. And you'll like it. It's only 4 minutes long. That's a short sermon. So apparently Paul was not Baptist, I'm sorry to say. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be leaving in 4 minutes, although I can smell those tacos. Can you smell them? That's just not fair. We've got to seal off those doors a little better to the kitchen. In Acts chapter 13, in fact, I want you to look there with me, Acts chapter 13, verse 16. Acts 13, verse 16. And while you're turning there, In Acts 13, there were three men that were on a mission trip. It was Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark. Now, John Mark is usually called Mark, and yes, he was the one who eventually wrote the Gospel of Mark. And so it's a good team. And they're on this mission trip to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a powerful group of guys, Paul, Barnabas, and Mark. And so as they're sharing on this, by the way, we call this Paul's first missionary journey. And at some point in the trip, Mark returned home, but Paul and Barnabas went on to a place called Antioch. Now, Antioch is in what we call modern-day Turkey, and it's really kind of in the middle part of Turkey. It's a long way in there to Antioch. I've been to Turkey twice. I've been to Ephesus and a few other places like that, but I've never been as far as Antioch. I would love to go there someday. There, when they arrived at Antioch, they did what they would always do. They went to the synagogue that Sabbath. And when they were at the synagogue leaders saw Paul and they invited him to preach. He had been a Pharisee, so that was the reasonable thing to do, to invite him to share. And what was interesting about that is they specifically asked Paul to share what they called words of encouragement. Words of encouragement to the Jews, as well as a group of Gentile converts that were there. And so Paul, being Paul, let them have it. So here's a sermon, and I want you to know how many times he quotes the Old Testament. Look with me in Acts chapter 13, verse 16. Now this is 4 minutes long, so bear with me. Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not that one. No, but he is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.' Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have become your father.' The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.' So it is stated elsewhere, 'You will not let your Holy One see decay.' For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that though Jesus, or through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. And here's the warning. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. Now listen to this next part. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively about what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Isn't that a great sermon? That's good preaching. Now, I want you to notice a few things about Paul's sermon and what makes it such a great sermon. First, one of the things I love most about Paul's message was that it gave the entire history of the Bible from Abraham all the way to Jesus. And he did it in 4 minutes. That's a fast-moving sermon. And I love that about the Bible itself. The Bible gives us the entire history of humanity from beginning to end, from Adam, the first person to exist, to the very last people that will be born in this world in the future. From the beginning of creation all the way to eternity in heaven for all believers. From Genesis to Revelation. Now, I am leading on Wednesday nights a bird's eye view, a study of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, I'm trying to do what Paul did. We are in Isaiah. We've been going for years. We're now in Isaiah, and I expect it will take about 10 years to get from Genesis to Revelation. 10 years, Paul did in 4 minutes. And so God bless him. And so I love that about Paul's message, and I love that about the Bible. It's very powerful. Paul's message was a reminder. It was a history lesson of God's people and how he worked through them for his glory and how he used the Israelites, their kings, their prophets, to foresee the coming of Christ. The Jews that were there needed to hear that. They needed a reminder just like you and I. They, as Jews, had a tendency to forget where they came from. We see that throughout the Old Testament. God is constantly reminding them in our study of Isaiah. God is constantly reminding them about their past because they seem to be forgetful about it. The Greeks there needed to hear as well, perhaps for the first time. They may not know any of those stories. How God worked through the Israelites for the ultimate purpose of saving people all over the world, not just Jews. Sometimes we have to be reminded. Of course, that's part of why you have preachers. But it doesn't stop with us. That's what we have Bible studies for, and Sunday school, and those kinds of things. The mix of people here this morning and watching online are very much like the people in the synagogue. Many of you grew up in church. You've gone many times for many years to Sunday school. You've heard thousands of sermons. You grew up going to vacation Bible school, and you've heard the Bible, the stories of the Bible. And you've heard the stories of the Old Testament as Paul was sharing with them. You've heard about Adam and Eve and Noah's Ark and how God called Abraham into a vision, how he called Isaac and Joseph and Moses and Ruth and Gideon and David and Solomon's temple. You've heard those things. You've heard about the 12 tribes of Israel and the destruction of Jerusalem and how they were led into captivity into Babylon because of their sins against God, and how God forgave them and restored them and brought them back to Jerusalem and rebuilt Zion. You've studied Daniel and Jonah, the prophets, as well as the events surrounding the very first Christmas and everything that led up to that. You've heard many times about the ministry of Jesus, many of you. The miracles, the disciples, the good news of the gospel, the Passion Week, and the terrible death that Christ had to undergo. You know about that first Easter Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the dead and how his resurrection has changed history more than anything else in history, because it offers us salvation and hope in the midst of a dark world. You know about the Apostle Paul and his calling on the road to Damascus, how he was blinded by a light and heard the voice of Jesus. You've also had the privilege to study how it all ends in books like the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible. That gives us hope that God will not wait forever, that this world is destined for judgment for those who reject Christ and serve the dark things of this world. You know that because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, that he died for us in our place, and that through the shedding of his blood, we will leave this life and be united with believers from all through history in heaven to glorify God forever. I look forward to that day. You know that Christ will return because the Bible says that. Not as a servant, but as the King of Kings, crowned in glory and power, with him an army of angels behind him, Christ will defeat Satan and death and sin for all time. Still, I know some of you don't have the opportunity and did not have the opportunity to grow up in church. You might not know much of what I just said or any of it. This may be your first time here. You may not know what Vacation Bible School even is, or you don't know the prophecies of the Old Testament, and you've never studied the Bible before in your life. Some of you may not know the difference between the book of Ruth and the book of Revelation. You may not even own a Bible. Well, that's the exact crowd that Paul faced on that day when he preached. From Jewish leaders who had studied the Bible, the Old Testament, all of their life, to Greeks who had no idea what they were talking about. That's the beauty of our Bible. And I love that from beginning to end. It is all here before us. And that's why, by the way, I encourage you not to just go in and cherry pick a little passage here and a verse there. You can do that, but I encourage you to read through the Bible. It will give you a powerful perspective that you cannot get in any other way. That great message of history that God, Jesus, and the Word are the very foundation of our life, our history, and our future. You see, Paul's message was truly revolutionary, and it was what the Jewish leaders asked for, words of encouragement. It was the good news and still is. In fact, that's what he said. If you look with me in Acts 13:32, our passage for today says, Paul says, we tell you, here it is, the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. Now, for you here today, whether you're a Bible scholar or you've never read the Bible a day in your life, most people are somewhere in between. But we do all have something in common. We are all created in the image of God. We are the manifestation of God's love. That's why we exist. That's why this world exists. That's why this universe exists. God made you because he loves you. We are all made for God's glory. We are all fallen. Even though that you and I, the Bible says, we're created in the image of God. Again, made in the image of God means something. But we've all fallen short of God's glory. And we fall short in our potential because we commit sin. The sin entered the world from the very beginning through Adam and Eve, as you know, famously fell to temptation. We all need to be forgiven. And God offers that only through Christ. He died in our place so that we can be saved again because God loves us. We all know this world in its present state cannot last forever. You can ask an atheist scientist that question and he will agree that this world in its present state cannot last forever. But we can all have the same hope of eternity because of Christ if we confess him and believe in faith in the resurrection. And I hope we all know that we were not made for the few short years that we will be here on this planet, that there is a new life, an eternal life waiting for us in heaven if we surrender ourselves to Christ. I want to do something else I don't normally do. I want to show you a brief video, and I've shown videos before, but nothing quite like this. It's made by a ministry called Childlike Media, and it's not children's videos. It would be great for kids, but it's made for everyone. It is doing what Paul did, or it's trying to do what Paul did. It's a brief summary of the entire Bible. I just happened across it, and I found it to be very powerful. It shares the great events of history from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. And by the way, they have given permission to show this in church. I didn't steal it. Although there is a watermark on it, so just try to ignore it and watch what's going on in the scenes. Because it's something of a bird's eye view of human history, I just found it to be powerful and unique. I've never seen a video clip quite like this. It is as though they read Paul's sermon that I just read to you, and then they made this video. I don't know if they did that, but I'm suspicious. By the way, I know any visualization of the Bible is not going to be perfect, but there is something beautiful about seeing the Bible. And try not to pick it apart, by the way, for that very reason. Just glean what you can. And by the way, you're going to have to watch very closely because it moves fast. As you watch, everything you see is right out of Scripture. And again, you'll have to watch it fast because it doesn't take much time per scene. In fact, one of the scenes, by the way, I didn't even recognize. I had to look it up, and it was the vision that God gave Abraham of a torch or a light and a pot. It's the vision of the light, a lamp and the pot. And I had to look that up. I'd forgotten all about that. You may see things in there. You go, well, did that happen? Yes, it happened. You can look it up. But it's a wonderful beginning to end view of God, Jesus, and the Bible. They couldn't quite pull it off as quick as Paul did. This is called The Bible in 5 Minutes.
Won't you come into the light and leave your old ways? Feel the power and the freedom that your soul craves. You're known and loved and wanted more than you know. You could feel it and believe it if you let go. This is what you were made for. You were made for. This is what you were made for. So leave your fear behind and let it make you brave. Rest in the assurance that our God God saves. He pulled us from the grave, and now we're all saints. So join in the communion of His endless grace. This is what,
this is what, this is what
we were made for. We were made for. This is what,
this is what, this is what
we were made for. Brother that you can be. Come join the body, lend an arm, lend a hand, find your calling. This is what,
this is what
we were made. Feel the power and the freedom that your soul craves. You're known and loved and wanted more than you know. You could feel it and believe it if you let go. This is what,
this is what
we were made for.
We were made for.
This is what,
this is what, this is what
we were made for.
We were made.
Be the brother that you can be. Come join the party. Lend an arm, lend a hand, find your calling. Come join the family. Be the sister, be the brother that you can be. Come join the party. Lend an arm, lend a hand, find your calling.
This is what, this is what, this is what
we were made for.
We were made for.
This is what,
this is what, this is what
we were made for.
We were made for.
You see, the Bible is very powerful. It's wonderful, is it not? I'd not seen that from beginning to end like that, quite like that. But I love that. It is a treasure, and so many people miss it. They never open the Bible. They never read it. And what are they missing? We cannot know who we are without opening this book. And so I want to give you the same opportunity today that Paul gave them 2,000 years ago in that synagogue in Antioch. Peter also said this, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's a short message in and of itself right there. I want you to know that today you can give your life to Christ. Today you can receive salvation. Today you don't have to know all of those stories. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Today in faith, if you believe that Christ died for you and you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, you can be saved. The Bible says there is something you need to do. You have to confess with your mouth. That's Romans 10:9. That means you have to be willing to tell the world. It's no secret, Christians. ever. Never have been, never will be. You have to be willing to confess Jesus and confess him publicly. Christ himself said that. And then you have to believe in the resurrection, clearly. You have to believe in the resurrection. There is no non-resurrection Christians out there. Every believer in history has to believe in faith that Christ rose from the dead. You have to be willing to confess. And part of that confession is confessing that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, and that you want to give your life to Jesus. The Bible actually uses the word surrender, that we surrender to him. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? I want you to do that right now. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this amazing book, unlike any other book ever written or ever will be written. The people throughout history and even now try their best to change it, dismiss it, or cancel it. But it will not be canceled. It has power to draw us to you, your word. Thank you for every word of it. From Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the end of Revelation and everything in between. Amazingly, Lord, because you love us, you allow us to be a part of this biblical history. It's not outdated because there is much in the Bible that talks about the future, our future, and how this is all going to end. But Father, we can be ready in anticipation without fear that we're going to go to judgment if we'll give our life to Christ. So Father, I pray if there is one here today who does not know their Savior, that at this moment they would say, Lord, I acknowledge I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. I've done things I shouldn't have done, and I know it. That they would be willing to confess with their mouth and say, Lord, I believe you died for me on the cross in my place for my sins. And openly confess that I believe that in 3 days he came back to life. I surrender my life to him. If you just prayed that and you're willing to make that decision today, that commitment, there's something I'm going to ask you to do. In a moment, we're going to have just a brief time of invitation. People will be praying. No one will be staring at you. I don't want to make it uncomfortable for you. But Jesus said, if you confess me before others, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. And so during the invitation, I'm going to ask you to come down and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Christ. For some of you, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and convicting you for a long time. You just haven't done it. Now's the time. Don't wait for tomorrow or next week. You don't know why I have to next week. Today, right here, right now, God is giving you an opportunity. Will you be willing to surrender to him? Again, you don't have to be a theologian to get that. God made you because he loves you. But he knows and sees the sin in your life, and he knows the consequence of that sin is death. Jesus wants you to die in your sin because he loves you. As John 3:16 famously says, for God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Would you do that today? Would you stand? All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, and as everyone stands, I want to invite you, just come up and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to confess it.